Yo, hello, welcome to this episode of the Flats and Shanks isolation podcast, quarantine podcast, whatever you want to call it, lockdown. I am the Tom Shanklin, and I'm speaking to...
Die Flats, yes. Hello, and that sounded like I was watching people just do nothing last night, and it sounded like MC Grinder, yo. And it's this weird thing where he's obviously completely ridiculous, but I must say, I like that sound. It reminds me of being at school, mate, at Dulwich College, thinking we were roughnecks.
Have you seen...
Listening to Jungle.
Have you seen Chabaddy G singing to Annie Mac?
Yes, I have seen it.
The Live Lounge. Oh, yes, mate. It's brilliant. It is.
He's the best character in that.
In my back. Annie Mac. Oh, by far he's the best. The BA adverts, not adverts, the BA
Safety things.
Health and safety videos at the start are just amazing. It's the tea lady. Oh. No, actually, I've won 3 BAFTAs and an Emmy.
Even his Twitter's funny because he puts W's where there are V's.
Yeah.
Like Vinna announced later.
COVID-19.
COVID.
He's brilliant. If you don't follow him, get on there. Chabaddy G. He does a great one with Ed Sheeran. He's going, ooh, wah, ooh, wah, ooh, wah. Ed Sheeran is. And then Chabaddy comes and goes, I'm in love with Chabaddy. Oh, they finished recording the series, though. They've stopped recording them.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Have you watched all of This Country?
Yes.
Have you seen the bloopers they released recently?
No.
Ah, it's online. So good. Yeah.
The best bit, we'll have done this on a pod the other day, but the best thing I've seen on This Country is where Mandy, the really aggressive big woman from the village, as they're walking off, just Harry McClary from Donaldson's Dairy, just keeps going. Hercules Morris, as big as a horse, as they're walking off by Mandy. go.
She's talking to Kerry before she's going, oh, yeah, Kerry, your mum was a good fighter as well. Oh, when she joins
with
book the club
leaving
as well.
Town, and she's like, see you off, are you leaving then, are you? Yeah, it didn't quite work out for you, did it? See you later.
They're all good. I love Len. Len's brilliant as well.
Oh, he's brilliant. It's and the Francis, the vicar, is brilliant, man.
He's
like,
phenomenal.
He's phenomenal. Brilliant but actor.
Len found a girlfriend online, and this girlfriend wanted loads of money transferred to him. Online. Have a look at her.
She's like this bodybuilder in a bikini, isn't she?
Oh, she's like Premier League.
It's brilliant. I love that. It's just... People must have such good fun writing that. I said to Michelle about 2 years ago, I was like, I'd love to get in on writing something like that and just make up gags that we thought were brilliant and just stick them in on TV. And she's like, Flats, do you just want to bypass all of the people who are training to be comedy writers on the TV because you played for Bath 10 years ago? I was like, yeah, it's not going to work. And about a year ago, I was like, I reckon I'd try a bit of acting, you know, I'd have a go, it'd be such good fun. And she's like, again, do you think you're going to just leapfrog everyone who's ever acted and trained because you played for Bath 10 years ago?
It's like you've missed all of the X Factor auditions and you just want to go in for the live shows.
Yeah. Just give me a shot, coach. Who are you? We don't know who you are.
You want to speak to Steve Spears. He's your man, mate.
That's what I'll do.
He's your man, but...
He is one of the funniest human beings I've ever met.
You have to humiliate yourself, though.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to get out of your comfort zone.
You saw me play, fella. That wasn't any good. I wasn't good.
I actually, I got a, I sent it to you last night, didn't I? I got a list of 1 to 15 rugby players, and it was talking all about basically what they do. And Flats was number one, loose head prop, moderately tall, fat lad. Often aggressive when something obstructs way to bar, pie shops, and occasionally a ruck. Does weights. No one knows why.
Yeah, it's so good. It's so good.
They're all good. 9,
the
scrum half.
One,
Dobby Midget, who can get himself into trouble marginally faster than he can run away from it. Nothing is his fault. Good drinker.
Read the fullback one. It's so good.
Fullback. 90% of them should be shot at dawn for cowardice. Last line of defence, my ass secretly wants to play 10 and buys the skipper lots of pints. Too many hair products, but useful source of spare socks and toiletries at away games.
So good.
They're all good. 12, inside centre. Often the best player on the pitch, as well as the fittest. Limited social skills and terrified of women until a beer kicks in.
13.
Outside centre. Does everything the 12 doesn't. Socially active and often juggling multiple women. Has a nice car, good job, and demanding fitness regime, as well as extensive debts and improbably large porn collection. Left wing, lanky speed merchant, can't catch, live in a world of their own, and always forget one item of kit, often boots. 14, right wing, the only reason he doesn't score 10 tries in every game is because no one can pass. Often a big lad who really looks the part, yet never quite has the impact you'd hope for. Doesn't drink.
I'm thinking of names the whole time, are you?
Yeah. Number 8, this is a good one. Big bastard. Talks a good game and describes himself as a footballer. Often vain, sometimes scruffy. Generally can't hold their drink and have weird hobbies or jobs. Handy in a scuffle, but best avoided socially.
I know. I just know these people. You know, it's so good.
The locks are great. Number 4, yeah, lock. Big, hard lad who thinks he's an enforcer. Police describe him as a hooligan. Wears shorts and flip-flops all year round. Lives with his mum. Number 5, lock. Giraffe. Looks funny when he runs. Long arms. Useful in the bar. Takes up too much space. Often very fit, yet last to arrive at a breakdown.
What's the tight head prop? That was quite a good one, I think.
Yeah, tight head prop. Fat lad who believes he's technically a good player with good hands. Everyone else thinks he just gets in the way. Does weights. No one notices.
Duncan Bell.
Hooker. Short fat lad with endless capacity for cheap booze and fascinated by women miles out of his league. Believes he has rugby nous and is an athlete. What else
John
we got? We've just said number 7, opus eye flanker. Glory boy, often with psychotic tendencies, will spend a lot of time in A&E, but when present, he can carry a team. Often unpopular or young, or both. Here we go. Number 6, blindside flanker. Proper hard man, can disappear for 80 minutes, but emerge holding someone's scrotum. Never buys a round. Oh, we've only got number 10 to go. Number 10, fly half. There are two
just
sorts.
Just do it, we've done them all, just do it.
Yeah, number 10, fly half. There are two sorts, running or kicking. Generally, they don't know which one they are until it's too late. Usually nice hair and overconfident every situation until it's too late. Oh, I loved all of them.
Do you know, like...
We all know someone like that, though, don't we?
It's just, you could... I don't want to offend people because there's no point, but you could just put a name... You could just put a name on every one of those positions from people you've played with. Like, even, like, is a number 8... I see him anymore, but called Etch, who plays at my local club. And it's just that completely describes Etch. Like, he thinks he's a bit suave. He's actually mainly scruffy. He does not mind chinning people in pubs if they look at him the wrong way. And yeah, he thinks he's Gazza. He's actually just a mutant roofer
from
Bath.
Number 8, Xavier Rush. Big bastard. Often vain, sometimes scruffy.
Yeah.
Weird hobbies or jobs. Handy in a scuffle, but best avoided socially.
Yeah, like the whole description of Dan Luger on the left wing. It's perfect.
Yeah, inside Jamie Roberts, inside centre. Often the best player on the pitch, as well as the fittest. Limited social skills and terrified of women until he has a beer. That's him to a T.
That's him to a T. That is him to a T. Oh. Social skills struggles badly. Basically being a rugby player, an ex-rugby player, like WhatsApp, if in a way I'm really glad whoever invented WhatsApp invented it. In another way, I wish they would just cancel the forward function because it just takes over my life. You keep on top of yours. I can't. So it's just too much. But I thought my WhatsApp was uncontrollable. Then I saw Mike Tindall's and he had it was over 100 conversations he hadn't answered. I was at 56. He was at 130 something. It's like, yeah, this is intolerable. Anyway, but some of the stuff you get is garbage and you've seen it 100 times. You forwarded that list of description of rugby players and I was like, this is brilliant. And everyone I've sent it to is like, this is class. Big Jim Hamilton loved it. It is so good. If you actually take 5 minutes to read it, you don't need to.
I tell you what's great now at the moment, which is just brilliant, is obviously Tiger King is out. Most people have watched it. If you haven't, get into it. It's just, it's totally bizarre. But all of the pictures coming out now are just amazing.
You sent me one earlier, which is absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
Just, do you want to describe it?
Okay, it's when it's when the three guys get married. They all marry each other. Joe Exotic.
Oh, do they? I haven't got to that bit
yet. Okay, sorry. Well, all three of them married, and there's a photo of them all topless, lying down. And the, it says, when you're straight, but he has a home gym. And then there's one where he, Joe Exotic saying he's never going to financially recover from this because he's talking about when Saf gets her arm bitten off. She's back in the zoo then a week later. It was bizarre that, because I think her name's Saf. She gets her arm bitten off and the doctor says, right, it's going to be 2 years of rehab to get your hand back working, or we can just chop it off. She's like, chop it off. Chop it off. Didn't even fancy rehabbing for 2 years to have a hand.
Again, I haven't seen that
for
yet.
For the rest of your life. But it says, it's him, it's Joe Exotic saying, I'm never going to financially recover from this. But above it, it says, locked in the house, feeding my kids 3 meals and 500 snacks a day.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I was this morning, like, the kids, both my little girls had, they're not meant to have two bagels because bagels aren't very healthy, but I got up and they'd already been downstairs. So I made them, they wanted a bagel. Okay, I have a bagel each. Turned out they'd already had one each without telling me and cleaned up the crumbs.
Well done.
Then they had some pancakes. They had two bagels each and a pancake. And then they finish eating at about 9:15. And at 10:30, little one goes, my younger one goes to the cupboard and she's like, Daddy, can I have an Oreo? No. Well, a snack then. I'm absolutely starving, and starts crying. I was like, what are you crying about? Just ask nicely. Can I have an Oreo? No. I was like, you ate 1 hour ago. Can you just try and leave it 2 hours between eating things? And she's like, I'm drawing pandas and it's exhausting. Like, okay. So here's some more food. Here's some more of this. And you're like, this is, I think they actually eat more than I do over the course of a day. I genuinely think that. And I don't know, Stuart Hooper from Bath has got 4 boys at home.
Oh, I'm thinking, wow.
That 25% blanket pay cut across the Premiership, that'll kick in a bit when you've got 4 kids. You're a mute yourself and you've got 5 lads in the house. You're like, mate, it must be so expensive for you.
I've started ordering takeaway.
Have you?
Yeah, they're still open and you can do it contactless.
Are they?
Yeah, so I ordered one. I don't want to name the Chinese because you'll find out why just at the road. But you can order it contactless. So they just drop the bag off outside the front. And anyway, I bring the bag in, put it on the side and just get the plates out. And I can hear it rustling, a little bit of rustling there. I think, oh, it's like a dish has opened or something.
Right in it.
Yeah, no. Well, I see something moving in the bag then. And I was really scared. And I lean forward, pick up the bag, put it on the floor and it's still rustling. And I think it's got to be, I see a pair of eyes. And I think that's got to be a rat or a mouse or something. And I carefully put the bag down and guess what was there?
What?
Peking duck.
I thought you'd be really inappropriate and say there was a bat. Sweet set of bat.
You sort of ruined it halfway by interrupting me by saying a rat. But
oh, I didn't know.
That's
didn't
you
know
all. You that's you all over, isn't it? Interrupt.
I never
knock.
Get. I never
knock
get.
Knock.
Who's there?
Interrupting cow.
Interrupting cow. I've got quite a good knock knock joke actually.
Go on then.
Right, you got to start it.
Okay, knock knock.
Who's there?
Doctor.
Doctor who?
Just got it.
Get my kit anyway. Just get over it. Joe Marler taught me that one actually. You see, Joe Marler was on his Instagram stories. I don't watch a lot of stories actually. I can never really be bothered.
With
but I watched his.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shiny puffer. You see, fella.
Loved it. Loved it.
See.
Yeah. You're doing all right.
When's the last time you bought any clothes? I haven't bought any clothes for ages. I feel like I haven't bought a t-shirt for 8 years now.
I'm just wearing tracksuit bottoms, mate.
What are you wearing now? Tracky B's?
Yeah.
Oh, well done, fella.
A guy sent me a joke on Twitter, Howie Gosling. Because Phil Steele put something really nice out there. If you don't know who Phil Steele is, he's a reporter. He was always on Scrum 5. Yeah, looks like my father. He was a 15, actually, and apparently not a bad 15 for Newport. Apparently, when he hit the line, the line slowed down.
Should be shot at dawn for cowardice, though.
Yeah, when he hit the line slowed down. You interrupted me again. Thanks. Just on the punchline. You're doing a good job.
Was it a joke? Go on. Sorry.
Yeah,
go on.
Nah, it's gone. It's gone. And anyway, Howard Gosling said he was on his bed the other day pulling his boxers off when his missus walked in and said, "God, you spoil those dogs." It tickled me a little bit. Do you know what I wish I had? I wish I had a golf simulator in my house. I watched Gareth Bale online on social media, and he's got like you basically hit it into a screen, mate, and it's sort of the trackman shows you shot where it lands. Oh, what a time to have one of them. But there we are. Yeah.
What would you have a golf simulator? If I can have one thing in my house that I haven't got, I'd have the same gym as Mike Tindall.
Cleaner. That's okay.
Oh, cleaner. Yeah, true, actually.
Everyone wants that.
I've never got on with the home gym. I can never work out at home, but I think now I probably would. And Tins's gym is basically better than Fitness First.
But you know why, though? Because he's got the space. Like, you don't. What I've got is just at the moment is an office, and that's just not big enough. But if you've got a bit more space, you know, you've got more machines, you know, between sets, you can walk around, look at your quads in the mirror.
You say that, but you've been to his Plymouth Zara's place with me, haven't you?
Yeah.
Shithole.
Yes, terrible. I
you couldn't live like that.
I personally wouldn't want to live there, but people do. And you've got to respect them for it.
It's a nightmare. Like, I think, you know, when your car's empty and you want to fill it up, you go to the garage, you get a Costa Express and a Dayton Walnut Flapjack.
Mm.
Tins never experiences that with the real people, because where's his petrol pump? Do you remember that?
What did you steal? Yeah, right outside his back door.
In his back garden, mate. He's got a petrol pump in his back garden.
What did you steal from there?
Oh, I've got loads of stuff. I've got loads. I started off nicking Tins's stuff, but that gets boring now. So I've actually, I got loads of Zara's clothes, and I got like 4 pairs of DuBarry boots that I handed out to my mum, sisters.
Well, I got used.
Loads of stuff I've nicked.
I got used cotton wool earbuds, so.
Oh, that'll do.
Really nice.
I nick loads of their kids' stuff as well. I nick loads of Mia's clothes for my kids.
Yeah.
They won't even know.
Not at all. And they've got so many. They use a new shirt every day, he does. Gets out of box.
Remember I took that Range Rover they didn't know for 6 weeks?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. Well, when you've got five of them.
Yeah.
Can't keep count.
Just took one home 6 weeks later. Have you seen our Vogue anywhere?
Mm.
Yeah, I'm on a couple of different WhatsApp groups for Tins, as you probably are as well, and we're all really worried about him in lockdown. He's only got 850 acres and unlimited cash for life, so it's difficult, isn't it? Isn't it?
I had to get off a WhatsApp group that he put me on because it was just way too much. I can't remember what it was.
Smutby London.
I'm not sure. Yeah, I think that one. But it was just non-stop, and it was right during this pandemic, and everyone had a bit of advice, and it was just doing my head in, so didn't know who to believe.
So I've got a friend who lives in Bath, but is in the luxury, the world of high luxury in Mayfair. She has a branding company, and she does these massive jobs, and she's hugely bright and successful, and have done brilliantly. Anyway, she sent me a message one day and said, "Have you heard of this secret WhatsApp group? There's an article in the paper about it here, and it's really elite. And apparently, the network's amazing on it, and you have to be invited to it." And I was like, "Wow!" And she goes, "Yeah, but you know, for work and stuff, apparently the connections on there are amazing, and they've got people in governments all around the world, and whatever it was." So I read this article, and she was like, "Mike Tindall's on it." So I texted Tins. I said, "Tins, what's this group?" He goes, "I'll add you now, mate." So he adds me in, and we have... Oh, hang on, my watch is talking to me. Shut up. So he adds me in, and then it's like, on there, it's like Jim Hamilton, Pinhead, you know, like Craig Yandell, our mate from Sarri, yep. Pinhead. And I was like, there's like Chez's on it. Like every... There's
Lawson.
Basically them. Yeah, there's a load of Muppets on it, like us. And basically, I mean, it's got to be at least 30, 40% female on there. It's not all men. It is just... relentless. Like at one point it was 75 messages a day comfortably.
Yeah.
people forwarding smut, people forwarding political opinions, articles, bantering with each other on private gags that you don't know because they're both from Lebanon or something. You don't know who they are.
Talking about private planes, get themselves out of country, how they can travel with a pet on a private plane.
Yeah, so I'm like, right, I'm actually going
to... Yeah, I had to get out.
I got out.
I think once this is all over, I only go back on. Now that you've mentioned that there's like really some high profile people on there, it might further my career. So,
yeah.
I'm going
to
ask him.
You might be able to marry Nicole Scherzinger. Oh, no, you can't now because Tom's going to do that.
It's his birthday today as well.
So. Is it? He's done one of his songs, has he?
No, I saw his brother Instagram a photo of them topless.
No way.
I've never seen him in clothes. So, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
I saw Tom at a black tie thing last winter and he had a velvet jacket on and stuff and I was about to make the joke, it's nice to see you in clothes, but he was actually painted on. He was completely nude. So you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're all a little bit resentful, aren't we? We can act like we're not, but we're a little bit resentful.
I just want to touch him. I just want to touch his face when I see him.
Yeah.
I just nice. Honestly, yeah.
Worst thing about Tom, and just being honest now.
You've said it
honest,
before.
Nice guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's not get ourselves in trouble again, okay?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you know it.
Wish I could hate the guy.
So what have you been up to for the last 3 days?
Oh, fella boy. So I went for a walk yesterday, take my daily hour of exercise, okay. And very slow walk, and walked past Laurie Cantor, your friend of mine, friend of the people, our local professional golfer here in Bath, yep. Laurie Cantor. And
what pace was he moving at?
Slow. He's not a fast mover.
Okay, I was just thought it might be a trot or maybe a bit faster.
Oh, no. Well done. Well done. Okay. He was moving at a feral clip and moving at canter and we had a chat and he said he's enjoying the pod, so he's glad we're doing two a week, but it got a bit weird after that because he remember the other week I mentioned that I looked out of my window at night and the neighbours were getting it on in the living room and I was a bit like, oh, this is a bit odd slash amazed
slash left £2 at the door the following morning.
Well, Laurie was like, I love that one. That was amazing. And it turns out that I've known Laurie quite a long time. And like, you know, you've met known him a bit and we get on really well. It actually got a bit awkward because he was like, it turns out that's a real thing of his. That's one of his real things. He loves that.
Watching or doing it in four pits? Is it an exhibition?
Watching people, no, neighbours. Watching neighbours and that kind of stuff. And I made a joke about it and he didn't laugh. I made another one. And he didn't laugh. And it was kind of, he was like, no, I like it. Keep looking. He wants more. So that it got a bit odd. It was nice to see him because you're not a lot of human contact at the moment.
Yeah.
But he said, please keep doing the pods and record all of them in your bedroom in case you see your neighbours again. And he started going on about any chance you could film it and send it to me and that kind of stuff. And I was like, it's getting weird now. So I pretended that I had coronavirus and left.
Wow.
Yeah.
True colours starting to show.
It's people being under stress, isn't it?
He texted me yesterday, actually, because he saw my post saying, you know, if anyone's got a spare golf simulator, I'll have it. And he said, no, well, you can buy one, basically. You can buy one, a cheap version of one, for £400. And it's as good as Trackman. There was, I think it's, have you heard of a former golfer, commentator now called Rob Key?
Yes.
Brilliant. There's a video of him going around where he's set up a blanket on a swing. So he's hitting the ball into a blanket. Okay, so you sort of get the strike, hits the blanket, drops down, that sort of style. Like a golfing net he's created, basically. Anyway, he ends up shanking one over the neighbour's fence, hits a tree, the ball drops, and it just makes this massive noise like he's broken something, and his face is... It's brilliant. He's obviously recording himself to have a look at his swing, whatever, but he duffs one and it's priceless. I'm going to retweet it later. And I think I might have done already, but...
Oh, it's real?
Yes, it's real.
Oh, right.
Yeah. No, he set up a little makeshift golf net in his...
Oh, yeah, good-o.
In his garden, but it's brilliant. It's very
good. That's
good. Yeah.
That's good. Oh, yeah, retweet that. I'll have a little look at that. I'm not going on Twitter much at the moment, but just enough.
How has your Anthony Watson watch been going? I know you're keeping an eye on him for Eddie Jones and Stuart Hooper.
I do, yeah. I live very near him, as I've said on this pod before, and I know exactly where he lives. I watch him quite a lot through his windows.
He's not the neighbour, is he?
No, he's not, sadly. God, I wish he was. Laurie would be straight over here, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Laurie would love that. But no, I see him training. He's training with Jeffy Williams. And yesterday he wasn't training. And my little girl said to me, the rugby fellas aren't out today then? And I said, no. Obviously, I'm on a day off. And she's like, it's a shame. I like to see them suffer. I thought that's a bit punchy for an eight-year-old. She's a potential serial killer. But he's had a rest day yesterday, which I don't know. I want more from him.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know what I mean? Simon Hodgkinson wasn't taking days off, was he? Paul Thorburn wasn't having rest days. Daly Thompson.
Seb Coe,
mate. Steve Ovett weren't taking rest days. So I'll have a word with him. I'm going to, as a nice gesture. He was very, very nice to my children, Anthony. So I'm gonna do a little field and flower drop for him without him knowing. He won't listen to this because he's too cool, but I'm going to do a little field and flower drop with some really fatty meat.
Yeah.
Trying to get a bit of fat on him because I worry about him.
Get the chili sausages. Apparently they're very good.
Oh, I haven't tried those.
No, nor have I. Bubs ordered them. Said zero fat. I went, well, they're a sausage, mate. They've probably got a little bit of fat in them. Maybe that's where you've been going wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I towed in the hole last night, fella.
Okay.
Ooh.
Good?
Ooh. Oh, boy. Let's just say I didn't have any pudding, which is unusual for me, as you know. I've got burgers today.
Nice. The field and flower ones?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell you a little what I do with a burger.
Can I have a guess first?
Yep.
You put it on the grill, then you squash it flat so it's not so thick. Turn it over and then put a bit of cheese on the top. Pull the hood of the barbecue down so it melts. Maybe add a little bit of streaky bacon and then put it on in a brioche bun.
You mother. One other top tip.
Oh, onion.
I actually find if you've got a flat plate on your barbecue, then great. But I haven't currently got one that's got a flat plate on it.
Yeah.
But I will actually use a metal pan.
You can actually get a burger press, mate. There's actual proper things called a burger press.
Okay, because the most important thing is to cover over the top of it and beneath it so the juice doesn't disappear. So what I'll quite often do is actually put a dome. I've got domes, and they're locked in a garage. I can't find them, but I'll put it in a pan and put the lid on the pan with the burgers in it so they stay really moist.
Oh, good idea. Do you know what I've been watching? And I've downloaded the app called Tasty. You see a lot of this on Facebook and Twitter, you know, where you see like a bowl and ingredients in a bowl and mix it up, then... You know, they create like, I don't know, Bangkok chicken or something like that. But anyway, there's loads and loads of recipes. I did a curry out there. I did a chicken tikka masala the other day. It was really nice. I'm doing some cinnamon buns today.
Are you?
Yeah. Yeah. It's really good, mate. Have a look at it. It's called Tasty. Get the app. There's quick recipes. There's long recipes. There's complex ones. Really good for the kids.
Did you see the video of the guy having a spoonful of cinnamon?
Yeah, it's brilliant. I might try it with my kids later, actually. Give me something to do.
Yeah. Very good.
I mean, we'll try and keep this one quite short, but we should chat at least one subject or topic about rugby. When do we reckon the season's going to start? Yeah. Do you reckon teams are looking at this thinking, right, this is our pre-season. This is the time off. And we'll just, as soon as we're allowed to play back, you know, maybe July, maybe August, they'll just somehow finish off this season.
I think there's too much rugby to finish off.
Well, they'll have to limit it somehow and then just back-to-back start the season. Because you've got to get straight back into it. It's not like you can have another 6 weeks after this because people are going to want to watch rugby. Rugby clubs want to get revenue through the door. They want to get rugby back on the TV. So
that's a really good point. Mm. That's a good point. This kind of has to be pre-season, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah, I hadn't thought of it like that. But
well, I think outside the box, mate.
You do, yeah.
I like a mental workout as well.
Yeah, you push the envelope. You're a blue sky thinker, aren't you? Yeah, I sort of feel like the idea of them starting in June or something just feels, I don't know, I feel like it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I'm not an
expert.
Maybe
not June, maybe July, maybe August, but it's going to have to start straight away because everyone's in the same boat. It's not like one team has been able to stay together for a long period and been able to work as a team together. Everyone's isolated. It's the same rules apply to everyone. So it is a level playing field.
Yeah, it's whether...
As long as it's safe, you know, to.
Yeah, and it's whether the players are all going to injure themselves because they're not actually in great nick and they all fly back at it.
Well, this is the job of the strength and conditioners. This is why players are still training now. You know, that's why gym equipment is being, you know, not rented, but being used at home, in gardens for people. You know, they're being weights, bars, machines all being lent to players so they can keep on top of things. But yeah.
I don't know if it starts before September, I feel like I'd be surprised, and I don't know why because I don't know anything about it.
No,
I'm not an expert, but I, you know, everyone is very keen for it to begin again. I sort of wonder if this won't actually be a great opportunity for. Yeah, so firstly, let's hope clubs don't fold, because I think if it goes past June, July, I actually think we're going to see clubs folding. I think the clubs are going to collapse, and that is serious stuff. I mean, they're losing an average of about 150, 200 grand a week at the moment because, you know, each match day is 300-400 grand, whatever. So it's a huge amount of money they're losing, and it's easy to say, well, the owners were 300 million, so he should keep paying us. Well, yes, I get that, but not every club has that, is the first thing. Also, a lot of these people, I don't know, I don't have hundreds of millions of pounds, but from what I'm reading, they don't just have 100 million pounds or 300 million pounds in their current account. It's all invested. They've got teams of people looking after their money, and their money is dying at the moment. So someone who was worth 500 million could conceivably be worth a fraction of that at the moment. So they have to stick in and stop hemorrhaging money until things come back up. So it's not quite as simple as that, I don't think.
I mean, assets count as money, you know, often when you're tolling up what a person's worth. It is, obviously, isn't it? You know, it's not like they can pay for a rugby team on a solo card.
Yeah, and it's like, well, I've got loads of money. I mean, if you're in a club owner and I've got 20 properties in London, so that's my pension or whatever it is. It's like, yeah, but you can't currently sell them. So they're currently worth nothing to you. They're costing you money. They're an overhead. They're worth nothing. So, you know, it's easy to say these people have got loads of money and should keep paying. Not every club is in that position. I don't think it's quite that simple. But I think everyone's very keen for it to be safe and for sport to come back as quickly as possible for lots of different reasons. But I don't know. Maybe this is an opportunity to reset the sort of the global rugby calendar situation and say, well, actually, everyone has pressed pause for a significant amount of time. Everyone has had rest. Why don't we try and tie some things together whereby...
Nah, can't see it.
We change it and we align, because actually the touring schedule's never fixed. The people arrive at World Cups with different levels of prep, and Lions with different levels of prep. And, you know, one team has been together for 10 weeks and they're ready to go. One team has been together for 15 minutes. And
unless this was discussed for like 4 years and a plan was set in place, it can't, because, you know, there's been agreements with teams for autumn internationals, for Six Nations.
Sponsors.
I agree. I'd love to see a setup where everyone's playing at the same time. You know, that would quite possibly mean moving rugby to summer, which I think is a great idea. But I don't think there's enough time. No one's working on that now, are they?
That's my holiday time, mate.
Yeah.
What am I going to do? I can't work then.
Everyone's been furloughed, or which they're not allowed to work, or, you know, they're at home. You can't just create that from your Mac. We can try, but I would love to see that. And I agree, mate. It's absolutely the right time to do it. But
there's never been a better time.
No,
has there?
It's just.
I guess the best time would have been 95 before the game went pro. Yeah. But it went pro so quick that people didn't really know what to do.
You know, the Lions tour is next year. The Olympics now is next year as well. Is that going to have an impact on the Lions? I wouldn't really think so. You go to the Olympics to watch all the sports, really, don't you? Yeah, you'll have your favourite, but it's the whole it's the whole ethos of going to Olympics, you know, getting a sample of everything that goes on, because there's so many events that go on. Whilst if you're going to a Lions tour, you are just a rugby nut through and through, aren't you? You go in there
If you were going to go on a Lions tour anyway, pay for a package or get tickets or whatever, if you were going to go over there, you are a rugby nut.
Yeah.
And if you're a rugby nut, there's nothing pulling you. I know there's sevens, but there's nothing pulling you back to the...
No.
There's no elite 15 aside competition at the Olympics pulling you back. So I don't think it will have much of an effect on that.
May have a little effect on the Euros, because, you know, people do watch rugby, they do watch football, you know, both key sports for people. So I probably think maybe the Euros...
The Euros at the same time?
Well, they're moving the Euros next year, aren't they? It's meant to be this year. I don't actually know exactly what date it is, but, you know, it's often either one or the other, isn't it? But there we are. Anyway, fella, we've waffled on enough for people.
Keep going, boy.
We will come back to you again on Monday, and we'll be doing Insta Live at 12:30 on Monday. So, get your questions in.
I'm gonna try and shave my face so my moustache sticks out a bit more, because I don't have a razor or shaving foam. I don't have any.
No, but you have clippers, which you do your hair with, and that will take your little beard down to a nice level. I saw a photo of Brian O'Driscoll on Twitter/Instagram. Sorry, it looked like he's growing a goatee, but
excellent.
I put in the comments under the bottom, is that a goatee? Are you going full on Brent? But he said no, it's a beard, which disappointed me a little bit.
Awkward, because he's taking it seriously, but
yeah, that's what I thought.
It's going to be nice when we can get some guests on this pod, isn't it?
Yeah.
Although this is easy. This is like, we haven't got to deal with all the prima donnas like Brian and Hoggard and whatever, and Hoggy and those boys, because they're a nightmare to deal with.
Do you know what, though? I'm going to do a little bit of research, because at the moment I'm calling you on my computer on FaceTime audio. You're linked up to my Zoom H6 MP3. Yeah. I've got a microphone in there. I'll work out how we can ring someone and both speak to them, being in separate locations. All right?
Okay.
That's my job this week, okay? Your job is to shave your beard, all right? So your moustache is more prominent.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay. What do you want me to wear for the next... I might go muscle vest with a moustache.
That's
for the
fine.
Next Instagram
that
Live.
Mate, that is Bruce all over.
This morning I walked into the kitchen. I walked in my... this is an unpaid plug. My Traeger T-shirt that I got with my grill.
Mm-hmm.
My Traeger. I walked in... And my little girl said, "Oh, Traeger T-shirt, pathetic," and just kept walking past.
Wow,
what do you do when your kids don't respect you?
Well,
I know what you do.
Like
die flat
fans.
Legally.
No, mine do though. That's the difference, you know. yeah, but I did the same this morning when I walked in my Hugo Boss polo shirt.
Oh,
my kids said, "Stop showing off, Dad." Just because you're sponsored by Hugo Boss. Anyway, thank you, Hugo.
Right. By the way, I ordered some new charcoal, fella. I did some research and ordered some Whittle and Flame charcoal.
Okay.
So a mate of mine a guy, Ben, who works for Kamado Joe, I said, "Mate, charcoal, talk to me."
Yeah.
And he said, "Try Whittle and Flame." So I've ordered a couple of bags of ash charcoal and some starters, and they were cheap, £12 a bag, and I'm going to come back to you.
Okay,
I'm going to come back to you. This is big stuff, all right?
Well, I'm going to call you tomorrow, because I'm going to cook a chicken on my Traeger, and I want to know how to do it, okay?
Yep.
I don't know. I've not even plugged it in yet. It's just sitting there looking pretty.
Okay.
Okay?
Call me tomorrow, yeah?
Yeah. All right.
Cheers, all.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.